53. And now for our story. It was a most pathetic scene in Max's cell that closed our situation yesterday. Mary had literally dragged herself there from her sick bed to see Max. But what was more disturbing than Max's apparent despair at what he had done was the shift in the attitude of the townspeople. Many of them, who the day before hailed Max as he came down the street, today were whispering of the dangers of having a reformed hoodlum at the head of their business enterprises. How far this whispering and ominous report and attitude toward Max will go, we don't know. But we do know that we are disturbed at Max's refusal to defend himself in the trial that will certainly result from his shooting of Benjamin Carter. It is this attitude that worries Daddy Stratford and John Power. Meantime, what are they doing about it? We shall see as our scene opens today in the office of John Power.
I'll bet it doesn't ring again in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it hadn't better ring in 2 minutes, because I'll tear it off if you...
What did I tell you? Not even a minute.
Yeah, why don't you tell that operator something? That's driving me nuts. I can't think.
Now, take it easy, Alfred. No, we don't know anything.
Now, look, old Dodo. You're going to drive us nuts all day here? Tell that operator to stop ringing his number.
We can't do that, Alfred. We've got to keep the phone open in case we get an important call from Mary or Sheriff Barstow or somebody.
Well, do something with that phone now before I go crazy.
Let's see. Here, this old club. I'll stick it behind the bell.
That's an idea. Stick it behind the bell and see if we can't get any. I'm dizzy from all that ringing. Never heard a phone ring so much in my life as this one this morning.
Well, we're no farther along than we were. Now, what do we do? Max says he won't fight his case.
No, it's ding-dang nonsense. I never heard such truck before in all my life. Man's got to have gumption to fight, even if things look terrible against him.
Well, it isn't because Max hasn't gumption, Alfred. You can just mark my word for that.
No, if it ain't that, then it ain't nothing. Man, with a fine wife like he's got and babies like them twins, and he won't fight for his life for them, it don't make sense, I tell you, John.
Alfred, do you really think it was accident?
No, how'd I know? Don't make no difference. Accidental or the real thing, he owes it to Mary and them twins to fight for himself.
I don't understand it. Him wanting to fight his own case or not at all.
I didn't know he even said he wanted to fight his own case. You just speculating again,
no, Donna? I'm not speculating, as you're prone to call it. He hinted it over in the cell yesterday.
Well, I didn't hear it. Maybe he ought to fight his own case, seeing as how nobody believes he hadn't done it accidentally.
Fred, you're just not talking plain sense. You get worse as you get older.
Now, none of your fine remarks now, John Fowler. We got the work to do, and don't you go conflicting issues.
But you don't seem to see that this is serious. This isn't any chicken-stealing case. It's murder in the first degree. Predetermined.
Preliminary homicide? Is that the word?
No, you get mixed up worse than that. Oh, I got it. Premeditated homicide. Yes, premeditated homicide is what they call it, and that's bad in any man's court.
Well, all right, you got the premeditated homicide, but what you going to do about it?
Well, I've got a plan.
You've got a plan?
Yes.
Well?
Mr. Fowler, you must do something with these newspaper fellows, this one, for instance.
Hey, who are these people, Butler? I thought you said you'd take me where I could get some real dope on this killer. What is this, a runaround?
I beg your pardon?
Would you mind telling what you two came busting into my office for?
Yes, or get out. We've got thinking to do, palavering with a couple of nitwits.
I'm really very sorry, sir, but you see, Mrs. Sutherland...
Mary, nothing's happened to her.
No, only you see, sir, these newspaper fellows are driving Mrs. Sutherland to destruction. Practically out of her mind. In fact, with their silly questions, asking her if her husband is a killer... Mr. Max, the very...
Fortunate. All right, all right, Keith. Come to the point.
I'll have you understand, sir, my name is not Jesus.
Skip it. If you two know anything about this case, this stuffed shirt here said you could give me the dope. Now, spill something. Why won't Mr. Sutton talk? Is this guy Tilly crazy? Why won't he save himself, huh? Oh, look here, boys. Please talk. I've got to have a story.
We've got no story, so get out.
And don't try to get his by telephone, either. We got that sick.
Hey, you can't do this. I represent the press. And you, Butler, you leave me on a wild goose chase like this again? Well, I'm liable to crown you. I'm just going to go back to Mary Southern. I'll haunt her till I get a story from her.
No, stop it now. Now, don't let him go back to Mrs.
Now, just a minute. I think I begin to understand. You've been pestering Mrs. Southern to get a story, is that it?
Well, Sherlock Holmes, how'd you guess?
Now, look here. Yeah. Haven't you fellows any other doorsteps to camp on?
Yeah, that's terrible. Mary's just getting well from a case of poisoning.
Poison?
Yeah.
Say, you don't mean this hoodlum husband of hers tried to kill her too, do you?
No, bright boy. They don't go together. Now, we've got no story to give you, and you might as well go and take your crowd away from Mrs. Southern's doorstep.
Yeah, go and loaf on your jail doorstep if you need a place to get.
Well, I never in all my... Such a town to get news from. Two of the biggest guys in this town get into a feud. One bumps the other off, and all I get is a lot of silly talk from a bunch of neighbors. But what is this?
Well, it's no place for you now. You better go. Because we got to figure out about Max's defense.
Oh, so you two are his brains, eh? What's the idea of kidding me?
We ain't kidding you. We just ain't got time to listen to your silly questions.
All right, then. You guys going to let this killer swing because he's got it coming to him, huh?
That kid, he ain't a killer. We're not letting him swing. We just can't get him to take any interest in his case.
Well, now we're getting someplace. Still, he ain't taking interest in his own case, huh?
Say, what are you writing down there?
The biography of a great news story. And I suppose he ain't taking interest in this case because he knows he's guilty, huh?
That ain't so. Max said himself last night. Yeah, you heard him last night yourself, Fowler. And Mary was there when he said it was accidental.
Well. Killer says it was accidental.
Yeah.
Breaks down and tells his wife, the famous Mary Southern.
Yeah.
It was an accident. He shot Benjamin Carter in the privacy of the lattice cell.
Mm-hmm.
Told in the eerie shadows of a jail cell while he wept in the arms of his consoling helpmate.
Hey, how did you know?
And I got imagination.
Oh.
Say, he'll go to the bar of justice and accept his fate. Death in the electric chair.
Oh, no. No. Mr. Max wouldn't do that. It's that gentleman, and Mr. Max is a gentleman.
Says who?
It ain't true. Max is going to fight his own case.
Hot diggity dog sensation. Sam, this killer decides to fight his own case.
Now, wait a minute. You're spilling your head, Alfred Stratford. That isn't true about Max. He's going to get the very best criminal lawyer in the country to fight his case, Peter Clinton of Chicago.
What a story.
Yes.
I've got my story. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. And you too, Jeeves. You're not so dumb. You're good.
Well, what does he mean? I'm not so dumb, I'm good.
I don't know. But don't mind him, Burberry. He's crazy. And now, Daddy, you sell the whole thing to that reporter. Now our whole campaign to save Max will be spread in the papers tomorrow morning.
Hey, what do you mean, Fowler? Who said anything about Max having a lawyer? And who's this fella Clinton of Chicago?
I decided that a moment ago. He's the most famous criminal lawyer in the country. Peter Clinton's an old friend of mine.
Oh, from your Chicago office, I suppose.
Well, you don't need to scorn him, Stratford. You can save Max Tilly if anybody can.
Oh, you will, Taylor, sir? You will? He's an innocent man, if there ever was one. I'm sure of that.
We'll do the best we can, Burberry. Now, you'd better get back to Mrs. Southern. She may need you.
Indeed, I shall. I shall be most happy to go with that news in my heart. Gentlemen, good day to you, sir.
Good day, Burberry. He's a nice fellow, that Burberry. But he's too darn polite. Now, John, tell me, how are you going to get Max to get this high-priced lawyer in Chicago?
Huh? Oh, I didn't think about asking him, Daddy.
But you got to ask him. It's his trial and his life. He can't do anything against his will.
Yes, I know. And he needs a good criminal lawyer worse than anything in this world.
Well, why has he got to have a criminal lawyer? He ain't a criminal no more. Not since he gave up hoodlumming.
Oh, Daddy, you don't understand these things.
Well, then I don't understand. But you better spill your brains. What you got up your sleeve?
Well, I've got one thing on my mind. If you don't stop being a tabloid newspaper telling everybody all about this case, nobody will be able to do anything to save Max.
Well, say, who's your tabloid newspaper? Ain't the town full to run over with these reporter fellas like that one Burberry brought in? And people calling on the phone here every minute today until we stuffed it up with a glove. Even the New York and Chicago newspapers carry big headlines about Carter's being killed. And you call me a tabloid newspaper for all this.
All right, Daddy. Yeah. Maybe you didn't start all this, but you've got to watch what you say.
Well, I guess we finally got the town of Sanders on the map. Yeah, but look at the price we have to pay. Some price.
Yes, I know.
Max.
We got our publicity, but it's no good. $1 million worth of publicity, and it's all bad. And that is bad, Alfred. Yeah.
Well, we got it. Now we got to get rid of it and save Max. Well, as Max would say, what's the payoff?
Hmm. I've got the payoff, Stretton. Yeah? I've got it all figured out.
So you've been trying to tell me that for the past hour. Maybe you can make it out now real fast. I'll get to hear it before another reporter comes in or the bell rings or something.
Well, it's very simple. I'm going to Chicago.
You're going to Chicago?
Well, what's so strange about that? Mm-hmm. I'm going to Chicago by airplane.
By airplane.
Well, what are you
laughing? Oh, what a fool notion you got now, John.
I'm going to fly to Chicago this very morning. Yeah. And get this, my old friend. I'm going to get Peter Clinton.
Well, you're going to fly to Chicago this very morning and
you
get
heard me.
Peter Clinton, the lawyer?
Yes.
But what about Max?
I don't care what Max says. I don't care what the newspapers say. We've got to put up a real fight for Mary's sake, and this is the best lawyer in the country to do it. Yes. Daddy, I'm going right now, and I'll be back tomorrow night.
So, John Fowler is going to Chicago to get the famous criminal lawyer Peter Clinton to save Max. That is really good news. But will Max accept this lawyer? We might better say, will Peter Clinton accept Max's case? Listen to tomorrow's absorbing episode in the life of Mary Southern, brought to you with the best wishes of Heinz Honey and Almond Cream.